If you have been following our Mass readings over the last week and a half, you'll know that we've been reading through St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I find Galatians is one of the most difficult of all Paul's letters to understand because it's very technical. And I'm also glad that Peter, in his second letter, said of Paul's writings, there are things in them that are hard to understand. So even our first pope had difficulty understanding some of what Paul wrote, and perhaps as he read it, he went, huh? What does that mean? Well, I think today's passage is one of those passages that's quite hard to understand. And so what I'd like to do in these next few minutes is walk through this passage from Galatians chapter 3. At the beginning of the passage, St. Paul writes these words, "The scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." So what Paul is saying here, and we'll unpack this a little bit more in a minute, is that in the Old Testament, scripture brings forward the power of sin in our lives. But it also looks to the solution, the remedy to that, in the person of Jesus Christ. St. Augustine said that the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed by the New Testament. And that's what Paul is getting at in this passage. He's wanting us to see how all of Scripture comes together in the person of Jesus Christ. But before he gets to Christ, he has something else to say about how in the Old Testament we are brought to this realization of how sin imprisons us. And so in the next verse he says, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed." Now the faith that he's talking about is the faith that is revealed in Jesus Christ. But what we see in the Old Testament, take for instance the Ten Commandments, is how the commandment shows us that we are in a particular way imprisoned by sin. St. Paul understood this in his own life. And over in Romans chapter 7, he gives a very clear example. He says the following. One of the commandments, well, the last commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet." That's what the commandment says Paul. And Paul says, I'm aware in my life of how often the sin of covetousness is at work. And so he says, although the law is good, the law in a sense is kind of like, well, a traffic sign. It's like the speed limit. You know what the speed limit says, and if you go over the speed limit, one of three things will happen. A, you'll get away with it. B, you'll see red lights behind you indicating that you need to pull over. Or C, you'll get one of those letters in the mail saying that photo radar had caught you going too quickly. Not that I've had any experience with any of this. But the point is the following for Paul. This is what the law does. It shows us where we have violated and there is no mercy. And it's here where Paul then goes on to make this very beautiful point, that the law shows us our sin, but the law also comes alongside us to bring us to Jesus. Because it's not just a disciplinarian in terms of saying, you're wrong, you have to pay. The law is also, as Paul goes on to say, the following. Therefore, the law is our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we no longer are subject to a disciplinarian. Now, in the Greek language, the word for disciplinarian is the word pedagoge, from which we get the word pedagogical. That is someone who instructs. And so what Paul is saying is the law doesn't just convict us of sin. The law then wants to come alongside us like a teacher to instruct us. But in that instruction, this disciplinarian always brings us to Christ so that we would know, oh, I'm not justified by trying to be better, by trying to do better, by trying to be good, 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 good. No, I'm brought to Christ where I am justified by faith. And that's what Paul says next. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many as you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So do you see what Paul's saying here? The whole of the law, which is good, first of all, convicts us of sin. Secondly, is a teacher, a companion that brings us to Jesus. So we recognize this. We are all justified by faith in Christ. And Paul says that the symbol or the representation of this is in our baptism, where we are now clothed in Christ. And that's one of the beautiful things about baptism, be it with babies or adults, that there is a white garment that the baptized wear to represent this new identity that is ours in Christ. And here's one of the beautiful things about our faith. We understand that out of our baptism, we can appropriate the gift of the six other sacraments. For now, let me just say briefly something about two of them. In the Eucharist, we actually receive Jesus into our own lives, so that it is his very life at work within us that helps us to overcome sin. But then when we're aware of how sin affects us in our lives, then we have that gift of being taken to Jesus in another way, to the sacrament of reconciliation, where we can not only confess our sin, where we can have true contrition of heart, but even more importantly, we hear Jesus say, I absolve you, I forgive you, you are free. Now, when people are truly learning to live this way, how does it affect community? What kind of community is formed out of this kind of love? Well, Paul tells us in the next verse, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So much of the division in our world results from gender wars, from racism, from social structures that are unjust. And that so often defines human community. We see it all around us today, the kind of gender wars that are at play, what's happening with racism, what's happening with social inequality. But what Paul wants us to see is that when we become members of Christ, when we recognize that we are children of the Father, that the church is to be a community of profound equality, where those things that so often define us and divide us have no place here. And the church is authentically the church when she is learning to live this way. And then we can understand our Lord when he says in today's gospel, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To be blessed is to know God's favor. Where is God's favor known? In true community, where people who know the mercy of Christ, where people who know they are truly forgiven, and know that we are equal and one in him, can then join with our Blessed Mother, who when she was on earth, always pointed people to Jesus, and from heaven, she continually beholds his merciful face, as she continually prays for us, and remarkably, at times in history, appears to people of this race, of that race, of this gender, of that gender, and in a particular way, she shows herself to the poor. May we take to heart this difficult teaching and reflect on it, so that in knowing the mercy of Jesus in our own lives, we will extend that mercy to others, regardless of their social status, regardless of their gender, regardless of their race. Holy Mother of God, pray for us.